Book of Proverbs. Calvary Chapel has been known for expository study. Expository study means going from verse to verse, chapter 1, verse 1, and we finish the book each time. However, this time we are going to do it a different way. The reason why I'm going to topical in Book of Proverbs is because a lot of times it repeats same thing over and over. Why God would repeat over and over? Because we are dense. Let's admit that, okay? From the beginning, we are dense. We are fools. So that's why he needs to tell us time after time. We have this repeated repetition is in Book of Proverbs, so I chose to go topical. We have 16 teachings available. That this is the first installment of 16 teachings. So we're starting with the wisdom. So this morning's title is wisdom. Compass. According to the definition of the dictionary that I use often, it is instrument of determining the direction as by means of a free rotating magnetized needle, just like that, that indicates magnetic north. As long as there is no interference from any metallic object, it will point to north all the time. Now, each day, the life we live confronts and demands us to make us the decision. The Book of Proverbs is the compass that helps us navigate the murky waters of life. It provides wisdom. It provides instruction for living. It provides guidance for the achieving strong character. Book of Proverbs tells us how to succeed and do what is right in every situation, whether it's a crisis or you're facing temptation. Above all, the Book of Proverbs shows us that the source of all wisdom comes from the right relationship with God. That is the main thing. Unless you have a right relationship with God, guess what? You don't get to have a wisdom. We are living in the information age, do we not? You can pretty much get any information, just about any information from internet, email, TV, and radio with a few clicks and a few seconds. I don't know if I told you that I had a friend who lived in Brooklyn, New York, and he talked like a New Yorker. We lost any connection for about 20 years. And he mentioned about moving into Puerto Rico because he married to the Puerto Rican lady and he was architect in Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, New York. So I put his name and architect in Puerto Rico. Guess what? I found him. And he was stunned that I found him because I guess he owed some money to somebody. He didn't want to be shown up. And I said, you were not that difficult to find. It was not difficult to find you. And he said, oh. And then he got disappeared again. Maybe I didn't want to know about it, where he was. Anyway, this Book of Proverbs does not provide us get rich quick scheme or success formula. However, it provides us the priorities and principles in God's way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh gracious God, mighty Lord, gentle Savior, everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, we adore you for who you are and how wonderful you are, how kind you are. Your loving kindness is better than life, and our lips shall praise you forever and ever. Let your wisdom manifest on us that this morning that we may comprehend your truth and your guidance. We pray for the ladies who went to the woman's retreat up in Overgard, Arizona. Let them be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by Him. And we ask you to bring them back safe and sound to us. We also pray for the President Obama's salvation, that he may know Jesus in such a way that he may become the servant of Almighty God. not his own. And also we pray for our troops who are in harm's way. You protect them from any harm and comfort those who lost, comfort the family of those who lost their soldiers and their family members, their friends. And we pray for our law enforcement personnel, sheriff deputies and police officers and border patrol agent, any law enforcement agent personnel, and as well as EMT and the firefighters, those who risk their lives for us every day. We're asking you to put the hedge of protection around them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at the major theme of this book of Proverbs. Obviously, it's the wisdom, right? The book of Proverbs belongs to what scholars called the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Wisdom literature of the Old Testament, which includes Job and Ecclesiastes as well. Why do we need wisdom from the Lord through the book of Proverbs? Just because you are a believer and you have a faith in God, that doesn't mean you just check your brain at the door and not think. My mama used to tell me, you have a gray putty between your 2 ears to think, not to just hang your head on there. We are to think. We are to use our brain, and just because we believe in God, that doesn't mean everything will just happen in front of us. We are to live according to His way. The Lord expects us to apply ourselves intellectually and do some serious thinking as we study the Word. I need to tell you about the style of this proverb. I'm sure that while you read this book, you've noticed that it's kind of poetic. It's not instruction, you know, bullet point, da-da-da-da-da-da, like that. It's a kind of poetic style. It's a Hebrew poetic style. But it uses a couplet. And I find three forms of the Hebrew style of poem. Number one is a synonymous parallelism. That's a kind of theological word, synonymous parallelism. It's a second phrase restate what is given first clause. In other words, it expresses the same thought in different way. Same thought in different way. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 29. We're going to flip the pages very often here. Proverbs 19:29. If you receive a handout Bible, there's a page number for your cheating. 19:29, it says, judgment are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Second phrase is explaining, restating the first one. Now, second form of this proverb is antithetic, which means contrast, parallelism. Here's a truth and which is stated in the first clause and made stronger in the second phrase by the contrast with the opposite truth. Proverbs 13:9. You there yet? The light of the righteous rejoice. The light of the righteous rejoice, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Opposite, contrasting here. Third form we find is a synthetic parallelism. Synthetic parallelism. The second phrase that developed the thought of the first one, not just restating, but in this kind of developing, explaining. Chapter 20 of Book of Proverbs, verse 2. I love the sound of flipping pages. The wrath of a king is like a roaring lion. Whoever provoked him to anger is sin against his own life. So who would be the author? by reading the first portion of the chapter 1, we can tell it's King Solomon. Is he the only one? No, there are other people who are involved in authoring this book. During the time of King Hezekiah, around 700 BC, a group of the scholars got together, compiled the material that is recorded in the chapter 25 through chapter 29. We don't know who they are, we just know they are a group of scholars. What would be the purpose of this book that is mentioned in the verse 1 through 7 of chapter 1? So we will just go dive right into it. The proverb, verse 1 of chapter 1, book of Proverbs. The proverb of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, the knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand the proverb and an enigma, the word of the wise and their riddles. Would you underline next phrase, verse 7, please? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, we don't study the book of Proverbs to boast others how much we know about the Bible. Rather, to be mature in God. Not just biblical knowledge. Not just biblical knowledge, but rather knowing how to implement the knowledge into our lives so that we may bring honor and glory to our God. That is the bottom line. Although the author, King Solomon, was wise when he studied, but he became foolish when he got older because his heart was strayed away from following God because his heart was sold to the pagan gods. That was waste, not wisdom. Wisdom is an attribute of God by which he sustained, he create, and he control all things. Biblical wisdom begins with the right relationship with God. As I said before. In other words, if you are not a born-again Christian, I would dare to say, you do not have a wisdom. If you are not a born-again Christian, by now, you're hopping mad. You mean I don't have a wisdom? Yeah, I don't. I agree with myself, what I just said. That sounds dumb, huh? I agree with myself. Why? Because Psalmist said, the fool says there is no God. And you may say, well, I didn't say there is no God. I just don't believe in Him, or I'm not following Him the way you do. Bible says clearly, if you believe the Bible is truth, and anything you say otherwise against the Bible is what? Untrue. False. Simple. So you have the bottom line, you don't have a bottom line in wisdom. You don't acknowledge God as He should be acknowledged in your life. Am I making sense to you? Wise people, wisdom is an attribute of God by which He sustained, and biblical wisdom begins at the right relationship with the Lord, and a wise person believes that there is a God and He is the creator and the ruler of all things, that He has put within His creation divine order that, if obeyed, leads ultimately to success in God's way. Wise people also assert that there is a moral law operating in this world, the principle of divine justice that makes sure that eventually the wicked will be judged and the righteous will be rewarded. Biblical wisdom has very little to do with the IQ or education. Some people with a PhD, by the way, PhD stands for pile high and deep, they may have a knowledge. Let's make it clear. Wisdom can be knowledge. But knowledge will never be wisdom. Knowledge is compiled information. You agree? Knowledge is compiled information. I joke around with Pastor Jack. That man is a brilliant man. He knows a lot of things. And he rattled off these mechanical things which goes right over my head. And I look at him and then I go like this. You know what that's for? Useless information. That's knowledge. But that man has a right relationship with God, so he has wisdom. Nothing wrong with the knowledge, but if I had to take wisdom and knowledge, I will take wisdom any day over knowledge. Person who dropped out of the second grade in grammar school can be more wise than person with a PhD with all these initials in the back of their name. That person might be smart and knowledgeable in his specialized field, but not wise in God. Because wisdom comes from who? God alone. Because wisdom requires a moral and spiritual understanding. It has to do with the character and the value. It means we look at the things through the eyes of God. Verse 7 of chapter 1, as I asked you on the line, is the key verse. Without the fear of the Lord, we would have no limit of sin in our lives. If we truly fear the Lord, of course, not in the sense of a sheer horror. Fear of the Lord, people think that, well, that is just being scared of God. No, it's reverence of God. You don't want to hurt, you don't want to disgrace God's name, not because he's going to whack you with on the side of your head, because you don't want to hurt him because you love him. You don't want to hurt your family because you love them. That's the same thing. Fear of the Lord would generate affectionate reverence from our heart to him with love and humility. Let's move down to the verse 10 of chapter 8. Chapter 8. As I said, this is topical study, so we are skipping back and forth. Now this time, King Solomon is personifying the wisdom as if it's a human being. Verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver, not knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire that cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell in the prudence and find out the knowledge and discretion. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and the sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me, kings reign, rulers decree justice. By me, prince rules and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me in diligently will find me. Riches and honors are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold. And my revenue than the choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness and in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit the wealth, then I may fill their treasury. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from the everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever on earth. When there were no death, I was brought forth there, and when there were no foundation abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew the circles on the face of the deep, when he established the cloud above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limit so that the waters would not trespass his command, when he marked out the foundation of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the Son of Man. Someone raised an objection, and they said, well, there's nothing in the book of Proverbs about the gospel. I beg the very difference. I totally disagree, because Jesus is there. And the one in this book whose wisdom it is, and none other than the wisdom of Jesus Christ. If you replace what we just read with Jesus, it makes sense. In the beautiful Hebrew poetic style, the author personified wisdom as a human. Wisdom, listen please, wisdom does not exist outside of God, and is the expression of his character and nature. See, unlike a pagan God, God does not need outside counselor to give him instruction. Jesus is apex of God's wisdom, according to Colossians chapter 1 and 2. What, if you remember, what does the book of Colossians talk about? Anybody remember? You know, one of the books in the New Testament, Colossians. The supremacy of Jesus Christ. The supremacy of Jesus Christ is mentioned in the book of Colossians, and it talks about his wisdom. That is the apex. Jesus is the apex of God's wisdom. Now move up back to the chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs. What is the reward of having wisdom? Chapter 3, verse 13. Are you with me so far? Did I lose you guys? You with me? Okay. Underline the first word of chapter 3, verse 13. Happy. Underline that, please. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceed better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of the days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of the pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Lord, by wisdom found the earth, and by understanding he established heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. Proverbs chapter 4, please, chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all your getting. Get understanding. Exalt her. She will promote you. She will bring you honor. And when you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. The reason why I ask you on the line happy is that that's the same word, Esher, E-S-H-E-R in Hebrew, that's the same word you would see in blessed. So you see the blessed is the man who walked not in the counsel of the wicked in Psalm 1:1. That's the same word as happy, Esher. By reading this, we could think that if we just have a wisdom, everything will go our way. That's not the way so. By context, we learn that we get to have an understanding. When we get to have an understanding, we get to know the greatness of God and how insignificant we are. So we don't demand the things to God, but rather we want to do what he wants us to do. That itself is a blessing. Wisdom can be defined as application of God's holiness in all we do, say, and think. This is a very important thing. Wisdom is an application of God's holiness in all we say and do and think. You follow? Wisdom is not intelligence. Don't cross that point. Again, let's go to the verse 7 of chapter 3 in Proverbs. Chapter 3, verse 7. This is great warning for us. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let's go to the chapter 4. Now we find the quick and simple and to the point instruction from this book. Verse 14 of chapter 4. Do not enter the path of wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Flip down to the verse, chapter 10, please. Chapter 10, verse 12. Chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up the strife, but the love covers all sin. Does this sound familiar to you? First Peter. Peter said, Apostle Peter said, love covers what? Multitude of sins. Very, you guys, good. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, and the rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Can you tell the proverb does not shed any more tears for that kind of thing? Verse 18 in the same chapter, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spread the slander is a fool. In the multitude of the word, the sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. How true. I never regret for not saying things. I always regret for saying running my mouth for something unnecessary. Do you feel that way too? Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one. We don't have a time to cover every verse that I mentioned there about regarding wisdom. So remember, I hand out the sheet to you that lists all the verses that mentioned in the wisdom last week. I expect you guys to read ahead and study ahead in your own time. The book of Proverbs has a little to say about the life to come. The eternal life, eternal life is not mentioned here. However, it's talking a lot about the present life and give a guideline for us to make a wise decision to help us to produce a safe, a satisfying godly life. A willingness to obey is essential. A willingness to obey to God is essential. That's non-negotiable. Obedience is action part of spiritual knowledge. Holy Spirit teaches the serious, not curious. Okay? If you're a scoffer, the Holy Spirit will not open his heart to you. But if you are serious, he will open his heart to you. Wisdom word in the book is plain and spoken clearly and openly so that there won't be any confusion. Of course, those who reject the Lord don't understand what God is saying. And this is not because God's word is complicated or unclear. It is because the sinners are spiritually blinded and deaf. And the problem is with the hearer. The problem is with the hearer, not speaker. Mark Twain, you know how he said the real cute things? Supposedly Mark Twain said this. Listen, please. It is not what I don't understand about Bible that worries me, but what I do understand. That is so true. People know about the Bible enough to be dangerous. Now, this time go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Keep your finger in the Proverbs. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know what? I don't think we're going to go to... Yeah, we'll go to the Proverbs still. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. You there yet? Now we have received nor the spirit of the world, not the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man, that means non-believers, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is a spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Unless God revealed to that person, because of their right relationship with God, that person cannot discern. So where do we get the wisdom? Where do we get wisdom? No man's writing can provide what God can bring it to us. Are you a businesswoman or businessman? Read the book of Proverbs. It talks about finance clearly, far better than flimsy and untrustworthy report comes from the Wall Street. It does not know that what's going to happen next day anyway. If you are raising children, your parent, Book of Proverbs tells you how to raise your children. Are you facing difficult decision? It will give you clear mindset. And are you going through a marriage problem? You cannot find a better marriage counselor than the Bible itself. Book of Proverbs will give you the clear message. So what is so special about the Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is a memory verse for, so you guys all know that, right? Right? Right. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for the doctrine and the reproof and the correction and for instruction in righteousness. The man of God is complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Folks, every single verse mentioned in this Bible, all 66 books are inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's a perfect book. Still best-selling book in human history. So why do we not have the wisdom? Often, everyone lacks wisdom. Every one of us lacks wisdom. There is not a person on the earth who has wisdom down apart from God. See, in addition to that, I see the three reasons why the people choose not to have a wisdom. I said choose not to have a wisdom. Number one reason is because they doubt. Because he doubt. The person must receive in faith. I don't know about you. There are some people who are extremely analytical. They have to measure everything. They have to know everything. They have to see everything. They have to understand everything. Otherwise, nothing goes. These analytical people have a hard time accepting the Bible as is. What do they leave out? Faith. Faith part. Because they try to comprehend God without faith. Unless they can see, unless they can understand, nothing flies. Folks, we have a limited intelligence. I know some of you think that you are extremely smart, but you are not as smart as God. We are not even the same dimension. We're trying to comprehend God with our puny brain, and we try to put God in the box we have. There ain't big enough box to put God in it, and he cannot be boxed in. No wonder why it doesn't work, and no wonder why it just frustrates them. So if you want the wisdom of God, you simply have to come to him with the faith. in Him, He can provide that for you. James chapter 1, please. Way in the back. Philemon's, Hebrews, James, right before 1 Peter. James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives you to all, what does it say? Liberally. That means without any measure, without reproach. It will be given to him. Let him ask in faith. There is a key. There's a catch. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Second reason why the people don't have a wisdom is because we think that we are wise in our own eyes. We think we are so smart and we don't need God's wisdom. Can you imagine, can you come up with a few names whom you know that who tells you all the time that they know everything? You might be one of them. Don't raise your hand too quickly. May I remind you, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil." Third reason why people don't have wisdom is they intentionally ignore. Note the word, highlight that portion. Intentionally ignore the wisdom from God. Let's go back to the Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls out loud outside. She raises her voice in the open square, and she cries out to the chief in the chief concourse. At the openings of the gate in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? That if I may paraphrase, how long, you dimwit? How long are you going to love this stupidity? The scorner's delight in his scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. Let's make two applications. Number one, the fear of the Lord would generate affectionate reverence from our heart to Him with love and humility. With love and humility. Application number two, when we need wisdom from the Lord, we must come to Him in faith and obedience. It's one thing to have a faith in God. When God answers your inquiry, you must do, I must do, because He is good. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We ask you to go with us. You impart your wisdom to all of us, that we may make a right decision each time that brings honor and praise and glory to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.